This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Now's one of our favorite times of the week there, Jason. This is your introduction into what is a hump day tradition here as we go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. On the line is Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. And Ross is going to be on the Browns Raiders call with Westwood One this weekend. Ross, who did you have to pay off to get this assignment?
No, so first of all, that was like an A- on the Mayo. That was pretty good. That was like an 8.5, maybe even a 9 out of 10. I could feel that one. And then, more importantly, not for Westwood One Sunday, it's for CBS, bro.
It's on
TV. So we're going to get a lot of tweets, you and me, at Ross Tucker NFL, from people saying, he doesn't look like what I thought he would look like. That's what he looks like. I didn't know that. You know, because there's people that listen every Wednesday 4 p.m. that have no idea what I look like. And I can assure you, Sunday, 4:25 p.m. Eastern time, on every television in the land, or at least should be, you're going to see me. You're going to see that. I'll look as good as I can. That's the best I can do when I'm on TV.
All right. Can you work my name into the broadcast, which I think is really all that matters here?
Possibly. Yeah, we'll see how the rest of the interview goes, and I'll see. You know, that would be one where I would say something like, listen, I hear all these clowns on Cleveland Sports Talk Radio, like Nick Wilson, that always want to blame everything on the O-line or Deshaun Watson. Why can't there be like something like that?
I think that's the only way I would want you to talk about me on football. So I will ask you, though, is this Raiders game a good matchup for the Browns?
Well, there's a lot of similarities between the two teams right now. We usually find out our assignments like 3 weeks in advance, maybe 2 weeks in advance. So going into last week's game, they hadn't announced it yet, but I knew I was doing Browns-Raiders. And I looked at the schedule and thought, wow, there's a pretty good chance they'll both be 2-1. Browns are hosting the Giants. Raiders are hosting the Panthers. They were both pretty solid favorites to win those home games against winless teams. Neither one did, obviously. So they're both coming off very similarly disappointing performances, and they're both desperate for a win. And I sort of appreciate games like this because I was in these situations. I'll probably say this on Sunday, but, you know, I always looked at it as a player that when you were 500 or above, you were firmly in the playoff mix, right? Below 500, you've got some work to do. And if you think about it, there's a big difference between 2-2 and 1-3. I mean, if you come out of this game and you're 2-2 and you're the Browns, at least, you're like, all right, we won two road games, not playing as well as we want to, but we're still 2-2. If you lose this game, then it is, wow, we are 1-3. We got to win two in a row just to get back to 500. So this is one of those games where both teams and both teams' fan bases are very much looking at it like, holy cow, we really got to win this game.
Hey, Ross, Nick and I talked about it earlier about Miles possibly resting, or would it make sense to rest him? What would be your opinion on the Browns trying to consider resting him?
Well, a couple things. I think it's a fair question. When's their bye? I didn't look at that yet.
That would be November 10th.
Okay, so you're not getting the value out of like back-to-back weeks or whatever. So really hard question for me to answer, Jason, not knowing how bad Miles' ailments are and exactly what his situation is. I saw where he's listed with three injuries. Here's what I would tell you. Based on watching the tape of the Giants game, I would definitely not rest him if he can still play, because he did some amazing things in that game. He's one of the best defensive players I think I've ever seen. It's just remarkable what he's capable of with that body of his. And if there's a way in which, you know, to try to manage it through the season, if maybe you take a few snaps off here and there and utilize him more for the obvious passing downs, I think that would be the better way to go about it. You know, they really need him. I mean, they're a different defense if they don't have him out there.
Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase a Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. So let's talk about that Giants game for a half second here. Did we overestimate the Browns going into that game, or did we underestimate the Giants?
Probably a little bit of both. You know, I think when you look at the Giants, they were better than I thought a lot of people thought they were. I mean, Neighbors is an absolute star. And I think Devin Singletary, as great as Saquon started, I think Devin Singletary does some really positive things. By far the most surprising and or concerning aspect of it, if you are the Browns, is just the pass protection right now. I mean, it is ugly and it's not good enough, and it's not all because of the injuries. You know, I'll probably highlight this at some point early in the game, but they're really struggling to pick up stunts, twists, blitzes. I mean, that's an ugly tape. You know, and I always do the preseason offensive line rankings. I had Browns top five. They certainly did not look anywhere near like a top five offensive line on Sunday. And I would say that was even before guys started dropping like flies.
When you look at that offensive line that you were just mentioning, Ross, Deshaun Watson probably needs to get rid of the ball faster, though, at times. Would you agree with me there?
Yeah, for sure. Now, I will say this. You know, it's interesting because watching him out there, that was my perception too. But then I watched, man, there were a bunch of times where he had very little shot. Now, there's other times, I think Jacksonville game, I noticed this more maybe, where I do feel like he held it too long. But in particular in the Giants game, man, I mean, they were on him quick. And there were times where I thought he did a decent job to be able to get out of those and find some space and buy some time. I'll give him credit for this, too. He is tough as nails because he's taking some shots. But, yes, I would like to see him get rid of it sooner a few times. I think the bigger concern, Jay, is that, you know, there's multiple open receivers where it feels like he's throwing the ball like 10 feet over their head. I mean, some really, really, I thought, ugly misses from him in that Giants game.
Ross, looking to two teams struggling in this division right now, the 1-2 Browns or the 0-3 Cincinnati Bengals, which team do you actually think's in a better spot?
Good question. I think that the Bengals can still hang their hat on their offense and Burrow, and I think the Browns on some level can still hang their hat on the defense. they're both banged up in different ways. I'd probably say the Browns because they already have that one win, right? That's a whole game ahead of them. And because, yeah, I can't remember who the Bengals are playing this week, but certainly, you know, the Browns have a very winnable game against the Raiders. So I'll say the Browns right now, also thinking that they'll get some of these guys back to healthy and Chubb and Joku and whatever.
Ross, I know we started asking a question about Deshaun earlier, but one of the conversations we had yesterday was about just trying to figure out, like, the O-line versus holding the ball too long and trying to get clarity on Deshaun. This season, outside of making the playoffs, is about having a definitive answer. Like, yes, he can get back and he's taking steps to be that guy, or even if he's under contract, you need a backup plan, a real backup plan going forward. Given what we've seen from the first 3 weeks, is your confidence shaken that even if Deshaun plays 17 games this year, the Browns are going to be able to get a clear answer on whether he can get back to being that guy or not?
So I think it is a fair question. And I'll say I think it's a fair question because the other aspects, in particular the offensive line, is not operating at a high enough level to really be able to give it a clear indicator. So I think there's some possibility of that. I guess I would argue the early returns are certainly not good. You know, I think if you're a Browns fan, obviously you want to win and all that stuff. I think you got to hope that the offensive line can just perform at a high enough level or competent enough level that you can really get a great definitive read on Deshaun. And, you know, I never like throwing offensive line coaches under the bus because I just don't. I don't really know what they're teaching the guys. I don't know if the guys are messing up themselves or whatever the situation may be. I will just say, you know, I saw some concerning things on tape from the Browns offensive line. Some of it might be the guys moving around, but I don't remember seeing a lot of these things, you know, when Bill Callahan was there. And so that's something that was notable for me and that, you know, might come up during the broadcast as well. I mean, there's a reason why he's considered by most people to be the best offensive line coach in the NFL.
Ross, when you look at the whole AFC, would you say that the Bills are by far the only team out there that can compete?
Well, they've been by far the best team so far. And I'm assuming when you say compete, you mean like compete with the Chiefs?
Well, you look at the Chiefs right now. The Chiefs, their defense is struggling. Yes, they've won the games, but their defense isn't anywhere up to par of being that Super Bowl caliber team. The Bills, when you look at as a whole right now, they've done everything they've asked to do.
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's fair to say that the Bills have been by far the best team so far, but I don't know. I mean, Chiefs are still 3-0. They still won back-to-back Super Bowls. You know, I'll believe somebody beats them in January when I see it. But certainly, you know, I've called all three Bills games so far. First one TV, the next two on radio. I mean, the last two Bills games I called, guys, they had their backups in the fourth quarter. It was Trubisky time. I mean, it felt like a preseason game. That doesn't happen in the NFL, let alone back-to-back games. It's extremely impressive what we're seeing from the Bills right now. Extremely. I mean, right now they're clearly the best team in the AFC, and the Vikings are clearly the best team in the NFC, but as you guys know, there's a long, long way to go.
Ross, Falcons owner Arthur Blank put himself in the ring of honor. Charming or Chach?
It's a good question.
Getting a lot of those today. I feel like I'm earning that name plug this weekend when you're on the Browns-Raiders call.
Well, you know, it's true because usually your questions are garbage.
Agreed.
And usually, like, you just bang the Deshaun drum 10 times, and then every once in a while you'll throw a Stefanski question in there, and it's like, oh my gosh.
Yep.
Sports Talk Radio 101, here we go. But these questions have been merited. I'm going to say charming. I'll tell you why. because he's a charming man. He's a wonderful man by all accounts. And he was going to go in the Ring of Honor after he passed, right? Like the next owner or whoever or his children would do that. What's the point of that? You know? I mean, what's the point of not getting a chance to experience it? It's funny because I know every once in a while I've told you about myfrontpagestory.com, and I'm truly not just doing this as a plug, Nick, although I know you'll think that it is.
Because I know you.
Yeah, exactly. 1,000%. So, but, you know, the first time we did a story for someone, it was because my brother-in-law's father passed. And so I read the obituary, and I thought, and the obituary doesn't really say what he was like as a guy. It's just like, he went to school here, this was his job, blah, blah, blah. So I thought, we should do this instead of having, as a better obituary. And then I thought, no. Like, wouldn't it be better if everybody got these while they're still alive? So that's, like, I literally, Nick, and it hasn't gone real well, to be honest with you, but I literally have tried to get partnerships with senior care facilities and senior care communities, because I want all of these people to have stories written about them and their lives from myfrontpagestory.com while they're still alive, so they can actually read it and enjoy it and have it in their room at their senior care facility or community or whatever. Because it doesn't do them any good if we write this amazing story about them after they pass. So I think it's charming. I'm in favor of it. And I know you, and you would have done it 20 years ago if you were blank.
Way to high road me there, by the way. Real quick, what's your read on the UNLV quarterback situation?
Ooh, you have come to the right place, my friend. You have come to the right place. I think I called his third game ever or fourth game ever. Would have been March or April of 2001. He was a true freshman. I called the Patriot League championship game when he was at Holy Cross. And there's a lot to it, right? First and foremost, number one, I don't care what UNLV says. Somebody promised him $100,000. He didn't just make that up, okay? Like, he doesn't just make it up. He goes there. This is his last year of eligibility, okay? He is a very good college quarterback. He doesn't throw it well enough to be a professional quarterback. So this is really the last year where he can get money for his skill set. So do you think he wanted to leave UNLV? Do you think this is something that he wanted to have happen? Absolutely not. They're 3-0. They've won two games against Big 12 Power 4 teams on the road. They're top 25 for the first time in school history. They have pole position for the playoffs. He said to them a number of times, where's the $100,000 that you promised me? They kept saying it. We'll give it to you. We'll give it to you. Which, by the way, like, the guy that comes out now and says that they were never promised it, like, that doesn't make sense. Why would they keep saying to him, you'll get it, you'll get it, right? So I think he realized, number one, it's not right. The whole program, the coach is going to get a Power 4 job. They're all benefiting greatly from what – they're running him, by the way, like 15 times a game. You're getting the crappy out of him. They're benefiting greatly from this, and yet they're not going to give him what they promised him to go there. He had other options to go to other schools. He picked UNLV for several reasons, including the money. And so he's being very smart right now, because what he did these first three games, he'll get $500,000 plus from a Power 4 school to be their quarterback next year, because he's preserving that year of eligibility. It's very, very smart. I mean, first of all, if someone says they're going to give you $100,000 and then they don't, you absolutely...
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Can leave. I didn't think they thought he was bluffing. I don't think they really thought the Holy Cross would do it. I don't think they really thought he would do it. But he called him on the bluff. Now he can train. He can get to the next school in the spring, and everybody knows he's available, and he'll get between $500,000 to probably $1.5 million to be the starting quarterback at a Power 4 school next year. And so he's absolutely doing the right thing. And if you're UNLV, man, somehow find the $97,000. I mean, not only, first of all, you have a chance to have an unbelievably special season, number one. Number two, it's just a bad look for everybody. It's a bad look for the program. It's a bad look for the head coach. They're probably not going to be as successful now. I mean, but it's where we are in college football. And the whole thing just makes me sad. Like, I'm so sad for him that he has to do this and his family. I'm incredibly sad for his teammates. Think about how excited
Ross,
all the students are,
Ross,
all the players are.
Real quick, buddy. This is
what they're doing.
This is great stuff, but we got a boogie here. We're up against an update here. But thank you so much, buddy. I look forward to hearing my name on Sunday on CBS.
I'll see what I can do, man. See ya.
The reason why he's so into this story is it came out today that UNLV's quarterback, who had transferred from Holy Cross, announced that after a 3-0 start, they're on the verge of being ranked, that he is withdrawing from school and taking a redshirt year this year to preserve eligibility over what he calls is broken NIL promises. And what's wild about this is the NIL collective has come out and said, oh, no, we never promised anybody anything. This has suddenly become a phenomenal he said, he said. And I think you get it. Like, I think everybody around football is watching this and looking, going like, okay, what the hell is this? Because this is always the worst case scenario that people have pointed to in the game of NIL.
Well, and I think this is where the NCAA and football has gone to. This NIL programming that allows college athletes to receive payment, it's great for them. And now they get to make their own lane. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we look at this young man from UNLV coming from Holy Cross is not a powerhouse.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden you come over to UNLV for the first time ever, they're 3-0. And, you know, they're ranked by the coaches' poll right now, top 25. They're on the verge in the AP of being in the top 25. And you lose your starting quarterback now.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I tend to be where Ross is on this. Guys who are having historic starts to their own career don't walk away from this unless they feel like they have no other option, right? Like, this is different because there have been a couple kids who have I'm going to go to this school, then NIL collective, whatever has fallen through, and then it's been, well, now I'm going to transfer because there were broken promises. They never played a game, or it was in the off season. This happening when you're 3-0, and here's what's wild to me, and because, listen, I'm very pro-player. Like, I can understand that this is the downside of NIL. Deal with it. Like, players dealt with the lopsided thing for 100 years, and the tyranny of the NCAA, and coaches who would rescind their scholarship if you just didn't do something the way they wanted it to, and the bad faith actors in college football. So I know that I'm already skewed towards this kid's side of things. But here's the thing. If the kid had been saying two people in that football program, I was promised $100,000, this was the deadline. Like, he has to redshirt after his third game, because once you get past that four-game mark, you're out. You're donezo. Like, then all of his eligibility's expired. So I'm to believe that this kid went to them repeatedly and said, hey, I was promised money to come here. I do not have it. I need that money because that money is maybe my future nest egg. I'm totally on the player side here. Anytime you involve boosters, I immediately go, because I've seen the broken promises of boosters too many times in college football.
Well, I think Ross Tucker talked about it, you know, in our last segment, is when you look at a player like this, he's not really an NFL quarterback. Mm-hmm. Yes, he's 6'3", but he doesn't have, you know, all the attributes to go to the next level and play, whether it's one down or 10 downs or 10 years. He's looking out for his best interest right now, and that's what the NIL has done, is allowed the players that aren't going to go to the next phase to help themselves, whether it's via education, whether it's financial resources in the monetary side. That's what he's looking for. He says, I need this money. It was promised to me, minimum of $100,000. He received $3,000 of it. So like Ross said, give him $97,000. Keep this team intact. Yep. Allow them to have a chance to go play in a playoff game at the end of the season. It's not going to happen now.
Well, in the grand scheme of things, that's not like, I know for a group of five, well, I guess it's group of six school, I know that $100,000 is a fair amount, more so than it is to like Florida State or Ohio State or Alabama. Same point. Is $97,000 worth being ranked? And you know, we know what going to the right bowl or being on the cusp of the playoffs, which when you start the season undefeated, you have a chance to do that or at least be in the conversation. That gets everybody jobs. You know, UNLV might be on the cusp of going to the Pac-12 where there's an extra, like, it's such a weird thing to me that you would draw this line. Hell, if I'm the coach, I go, can we find a way for me to give you the 97? Like, I got a bat. The bag man hasn't gone far.
Right.
He's still right around the corner. Like, it's such a wild situation. And I'll continue to go back to this. A player doesn't do this unless they feel like they have no other options. And one of the wildest things is that there are pretty reckless reports. Oh, he must have another offer in the portal. It's like, okay, but why would he be willing to do that if he's got $100,000 still on the line for playing the rest of the season? It's the wildest. And here's why I don't like it. This is the downside to me. People are going to try and use this as the thing of, well, this can't happen again, so we got to shoehorn in some sort of legislation to protect colleges. Malarkey. This proves you still have to protect these kids against these you-know-what artists that are boosters and collectives. Not everybody's on the level, no matter if legally they might be on the level.
When it's all said and done, the school still wins. The school still has more money than these players.
Yep.
And that's the reason that you look at the NCAA and the NIL came into fruition, is to protect the players' interests. And that's all that, you know, we're trying to do here. And I'm on the same page as this young man. If I'm in this situation, I'm looking at it from a player perspective, and I'm part of UNLV's group right now, and I'm the starting quarterback, and I came over, you know, from Holy Cross, I'm looking at it from my best interest. I'm going to protect myself before I protect anybody else.
216-474-0092. Matthew Sluka, the UNLV quarterback, says he was promised something and not delivered on. The NIL collective for UNLV says, we don't just make promises around here. Where do you guys stand on this? So we're talking about the UNLV situation where their starting quarterback, Matthew Sluka, who has started 3-0 and balled out at UNLV, announced earlier today that he is walking away from the program because of unfulfilled promises in NIL. And one of the things we got on social media was the idea of, even though promises were broken, it's still a selfish move by him. I would say that I don't think you're wrong. It is. You're putting yourself over your team. At some point, this is a reciprocal relationship. And so while if I'm his teammate, I'm probably a little hurt by this, I bet you his teammates also probably understand. At some point, man, you're risking life, limb, and the ability to walk. If you got to do what's best for you, you don't love it, might tank your chances to win here, but you got to do what you got to do.
So before NIL would happen, we had scholarships. Now scholarships are kind of null and void. They're still out there. But look at it this way. If his scholarship is pulled, he's going to go elsewhere. He's not gaining $100,000 from an NIL scholarship now, or money. So ultimately, he's looking for a better way to better himself and family. I don't fault him at it.
I also think, like he's also in his last year of eligibility. So I'm going to go ahead and say, and I'm going to continue to come back to this. The report is he said multiple times to and a lot of people in the program, this is what I'm owed, haven't been taken care of, we need to get this done. You know, I think the idea is, well, schools need to be protected or yada, yada, yada. I think this is a kid kind of standing up against a big machine that there's a lot. And listen, I know it's not power for money. There's still a lot of money being made off his back. I know it's more complex when we start talking about other people's money and athletes' money. But man, I'm sorry. I think this takes stones of steel. I think this is incredibly, incredibly impressive. 216-474-0092. Let's go with Brian. Welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing very well. What you got for us?
So Suluka was a great quarterback at Holy Cross. Took that team, which wasn't really a powerhouse in football, and he took them to the FCF playoffs. 2,000-yard rushing seasons. I mean, this isn't selfish at all. And just in the last hour, UNLV had a running back who did the exact same thing. It's Michael Allen 8 on Twitter. He's also leaving UNLV. So, yeah, these kids have to make sure to keep fighting these programs that are lying to them and taking advantage of them.
Brian, we appreciate.
Luka would never do that. You know, he really built Holy Cross into a program, so he's not the type of kid to do that.
Brian, we appreciate you, buddy. Good stuff. Yeah, what do you do if you're the head coach?
That's a tough saying right there, too, because now all of a sudden, you know, we're just learning now, you lose your quarterback. He's like, I'm out. You didn't give me $100,000. I'm out. Now you're about to lose a running back as well. So you go and you start the season 3-0. You have a chance to go to the playoffs. You have a chance to show yourselves. You're trying to compete, getting into the top 25, and now you're losing players. You're going to start losing your team.
I would imagine. I'm just going to go, and this is Barry Odom. Used to be Missouri's head coach. This is his pathway back to generational wealth with a Power Four job. I wonder if there's still a path where these guys get back in the fold. I really do. I wonder if like this is the wake up call, because now that it's a second player saying, "Oh, he wasn't the only one that had broken promises." I'm going to go ahead and say that Barry Odom has the power to compel the forces that be, get me my quarterback back, even if it means you got to add a couple extra large on top of that. Like, if you're Barry Odom, how can you not go on the warpath to get... Because here's the thing. If you go on your warpath to then get these guys set up and back in the fold, you cannot tell me, if that's possible, and that's a little speculation here, you can't tell me that that's not going to pay dividends in recruiting, if people see you, hey, these guys were made whole, coach looked out for me, that kind of stuff. I think there's an easy win here, even if it might disrupt you over the next day or two.
Well, and it's a trickle-down effect right now. So when you look at this, you're saying to yourself and to a team, if you're not taken care of, and especially with the NIL now these days, if you're promised something as a team, as an organization, as an institution, you better take care of my players. Because if not, we're not going to have a team anymore.
Well, and here's the other thing. Because I know people say, well, there should be contracts in place here. And I just don't think it's as easy as, like, because the NCAA still has some power, but really nothing compared to what it was a decade ago, or, you know, maybe closer to 15 years ago. So you still have them lurking. You still have... Like, it's not like all good faith actors are here. Some people just want control back. This is the downside of this is, well, this might happen. Guys, let's be honest, though. It's one time. It's one time it's happened. How many football players are there in college football? So do I expect somebody to try and make a federal case out of this? Of course. It's college football, and there are a lot of guys who wish that they had the power they had 15 years ago. But I don't think there's a quick fix. The NCAA can't do it. So if individuals, meaning individual programs, are just going to start doing contracts and putting everything in contract, well, then you're going to have to start making sure you follow through on every promise. And let's just be honest, you're relying on boosters, and boosters are not the most... I don't want to paint every booster as a bad person, but there are some boosters who are less than reputable. Not every one of them is a good faith actor again.
Well, and boosters don't want their name out there. I mean, when it's all said and done, boosters want to stay anonymous. They're there to help the programs continue to build what they have as a legacy. And, you know, for UNLV, this is the first time for them. You know, they're 3-0, and that's what hurts, I think, more than anything, is when you look at this, you're finally on the right track. You have the head coach in place that you like. You go out and you get the quarterback in the transfer portal. Now, all of a sudden, you lose him because you couldn't honor a simple thing. You said, hey, here's an NIL deal. We're going to give you $100,000. By the way, oh, now we're not going to give it to you? That's shame on them.
Well, and we'll see. I still have a feeling there's got to be a way. You can't let it go down like this when you're 3-0. You just can't.